Ben Nicholson-Smith is our baseball editor at Sportsnet. Thoughts, yay. He was in Detroit this weekend for the Tigers and Jays, and Ben joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Boy, there's a lot to talk about out of that game. Starting with the fact that with Justin Smoke and Kenrys Morales both in the lineup, you really limit yourselves in terms of late inning moves. I should say with Smoke in as a DH and Morales in a first base, you limit yourself in terms of moves late in the game. Marco Estrada needing John Gibbons to come out to the mound in the first inning to talk to him. I'm not going to really hang a lot on Lucas Harrell. I mean, Lucas Harrell isn't here to pitch in those situations, is he, Ben? Lucas Harrell is here as a long guy, and the Jays haven't really been able to use him in that capacity. But just all told, just a real sloppy performance by the Blue Jays.
Yeah, it was a game that they should have won. I mean, the Tigers were trying to hand it to them. When you think about Anibal Sanchez on the mound, wasn't pitching very well. The Jays had that lead, and they gave it away, and I do think you're right to highlight the defense because, it's funny, as you're listing off all those players, I'm sitting here thinking, well, you basically mentioned every defensive player on the Jays.
Pretty much. Everyone yeah, in the it was field. One of those games.
Yeah, everyone except for maybe Ryan Goins and Darwin Barney. Mm-hmm. And so if everyone is contributing to some defensive issues, then of course you're going to allow more runs than you should, and that's going to affect everyone from Estrada to Harrell to – it's no wonder that John Gibbons afterwards was pretty frank. And I thought those comments were telling that you played off the top with Gibby saying, look, this team is where it should be in the standings. And it's not a pretty record, but it hasn't been a pretty season for the Jays.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As I look at this team, I mean, and I look at the underlying stats, this is where they should be. They are one of the worst teams in the American League this year. And they're one of the worst teams in baseball in several levels. You can't put it any other way. Now, the question, Ben, is what does that mean? Does that mean that a bunch of guys have had off seasons, or does that mean that this team is too old and that, what we're seeing here is the manifestation of just a decline that's going to continue as long as this core group is together? I mean, I know that's above our pay grade. That's for Mark and Ross to decide. But that has to be a concern for them, is what suggests that it can be better this season or certainly better next season?
Yeah, I think this year they're definitely a better team from here on than they have been to this point. I think they can probably play around 500 baseball. I do think heading into next year, this team can contend. I really believe that. Just when you look at potentially a full season from Sanchez, you look at Stroman, you look at Happ. At the same time, I think they need to have a good offseason. I think they need to make some additions at the trade deadline and into the offseason to make that happen. Because as we've seen this year, when they run into injuries, and every team will run into injuries, especially if you skew older, they haven't had sufficient depth to fill in. And I think that's been an issue and continues to be an issue for the Blue Jays. Even when you look ahead to Thursday's start against the Red Sox and who would fill in for Francisco Liriano if they need someone, and all of a sudden you look at AAA, you look at the options, and they don't have a great option to fill in.
And, I was just looking at the lineup yesterday. You talk about the lack of depth. I mean, I think it was it the eighth inning where Kenrys Morales draws a one-out walk, and there's nobody to pinch run for him. And even if there was somebody to pinch run, you couldn't put Smoke in a first base because he's already the DH, so you'd lose the DH. It's almost unforgivable to find yourself in that situation right now, that you're so short of bench talent or depth, not even talent. You're just so short of depth that you can't, you tie your manager's hands late in the game.
Yeah, and that's a tough spot to put John Gibbons in, and it's a product of having such a big bullpen. I mean, when you look at all the relievers that the Blue Jays carry, then you're going to end up with some really short benches to the point where you've got basically a backup catcher, an infielder, and an outfielder. So I get it, and yesterday was one of those games where it goes into extra innings, and they ended up using just about everyone in their bullpen with the exception of Aaron Loop, and then they weren't going to use Mike Bolsinger after throwing 75 pitches on Saturday. So they did end up using most of those guys. But, like you said, you end up in situations where you really tie the hands of, of your manager when it comes to his position players.
So what's up with Marco Estrada? I mean, you detailed it very well, I thought, in your article on the website. The statistical decline is shocking. You know, we see it on the field. You watch him. He's not the same guy that we've seen in previous seasons. Quite frankly, he looks confused. Quite frankly, he looks like he wants no part of the situation that he's in every now and then. And I really thought that was, you know, I think Greg Zahn pointed that out at that game in Yankee Stadium. To me, he looked like a guy who basically wanted off the mound, that wanted no part of the Yankees when things started to go poorly. But I mean, Ben, that statistical decline is shocking. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in the last two seasons, Estrada was so good. And then even for the first 11 starts of this year, for April and May, he seemed to have even taken his game to another level. He had more strikeouts. His ERA was just above 3. And at that point, he had a lot of people buying in that this was sustainable, myself included. Because you look at what he had done, and there was no reason to believe that it would stop. But in the last 8 starts, it's pretty remarkable what's happened. And the contrast is really stark in a couple of areas. You look at the strikes that he's throwing, and he's just not around the strike zone as much. He used to throw 68% strikes. Now it's down to 60. So that's a big drop-off. It means he's behind in counts. It means he's walking more guys. It means his pitch counts are up. All of that contributing to his problems. And then he's getting hit harder. This is someone who used to be a master at suppressing hits and making sure that batted balls found the gloves of outfielders and infielders. And now it's just not happening. Now he's allowing almost a .400 batting average on balls in play. Mm. And that is contributing to these struggles too. So I'm sure there are more reasons, but those are at least a couple of the reasons that Estrada is struggling.
As for Francisco Liriano, we expect that he will miss his next start with a sore neck, and I think it was pretty obvious watching him pitch on Saturday around the second inning. Pat picked it up right away when he started falling, almost tumbling towards third base on his delivery, that something was up with him. You know, if you look at the Blue Jays right now, it almost seems as if nothing's going their way, because these are two guys in Estrada and Liriano that you would certainly consider dealing at the deadline. And, I mean, if I'm a contending team right now, I don't know if I would take Marco Estrada. I don't know if I would want to, you know, present my pitching coach with a project. And I certainly don't know if I would give up anything of value for Marco Estrada. And what really concerns me about Francisco Liriano is when the Jays acquired him, you know, Ben, part of the discussion was, well, if he doesn't fit into the rotation, maybe he could somehow morph into a slider fastball guy out of the bullpen. But he's never had enough control to do that. So you can't even market him to another team as a guy who might be able to help out of the bullpen. There's really almost zero trade value for those two commodities right now.
Right, especially because they're both making in the neighborhood of $14 million. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not talking about guys that are making the league minimum.
And no, you're still picking up $6 million.
Right, right. So I think that really cuts into their trade value. I think that in both cases, there was a sliver of hope as we began the second half that they could put together 3 or 4 really good starts and rediscover their form. And then a team like the Brewers or the Nationals, who just lost Joe Ross to Tommy John surgery, that there would be enough interest around the league that somebody would say, we believe in these guys and we think that they can help us out. But you look at Liriano now, he's got a sore neck and a 6 ERA. I don't think that he's going to draw a ton of trade interest. And as for Estrada, you look at the recent track record, and that is, I mean, it's tough to buy on that guy as the player who's going to turn your season around. So I think that Joe Smith will still have some trade value, but the Blue Jays have really lost some options here. It's not to say that they couldn't package these guys or they couldn't get creative and make something happen in August, but I think that their options have been cut off by these poor performances.
Yeah, and, you know, I exchanged emails with an agent over the weekend and asked him about Estrada and how much this might be hurting his value as a free agent. And his point was, you know, Marco Estrada is probably still going to get a contract offer in free agency, only because, you know, someone may look at him and say, if we can get this guy in for a couple of years, we can work on whatever his problems are in spring training. And this guy's point was, just because Marco Estrada may not have a lot of value at the trade deadline right now, that doesn't mean he wouldn't have some value as a free agent. I mean, it's easier to reinvent the wheel when you've got the entire spring training to do it as opposed to doing it in season. And I think that may be, that sort of may be where Marco ends up. But, I mean, to me, the biggest, where this is a real setback, is if you were going to get anything significant of return for either of these guys, you were going to have to probably throw a prospect in there, whether it was Marco Estrada plus Connor Green or Marco Estrada plus Sean Reed Foley. That might get you something useful in terms of a position player or a useful piece, a relatively established major league piece for the bullpen. But that's not going to happen now. You know, that's the biggest thing to me, is the Blue Jays' ability to put together a package has been severely damaged by this.
Yeah, it's cut off options. And I think if they're willing to part with prospects like Connor Green, then they can probably have some pretty interesting conversations around the league. But when you look at the ideal, you ideally want to be able to trade your pending free agents for something of value without having to return those prospects. And I mean, I don't know if they can do that. I mean, you can, of course, wait until August. And I think, you know, with Liriano, he's probably not getting traded in July the way things are going. And with Estrada, you could make a strong case that, you know, the Jays are better off waiting to see if he can rediscover his form into August. And those salaries might clear waivers. But again, that's far from plan A.
Right. And that is a good point, and people need to keep that in mind. There is a chance that a player could be moved in August, providing he clears waivers, and you're absolutely right. If Marco Estrada were to get it together a couple of starts after the trade deadline, it's entirely possible that somebody then may look at him. But, you know, I really wonder, when we talk about Marco Estrada, we talk an awful lot about how he's performed in the postseason, and I don't know if other teams look at it that way. I think, Ben, other teams, when they're dealing for a pitcher, aren't looking that far back. They're looking at what they are getting now, as opposed to what the pitcher may have been in the past. And you know, yeah, that may hint that he can come through for you in the postseason, but you're more interested in what he's doing at the time you make the deal, obviously, than what he did, you know, 10 months ago.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when the Nationals acquired Ryan Madsen, are they looking at his postseason experience from the Phillies back, you know, two surgeries ago and 5 years ago? I think that the Nationals acquired Ryan Madsen because he's pitching well right now, and he and Sean Doolittle can help them. So I think that at the trade deadline, you're absolutely right. It's a what have you done for me lately type of game. And you can even look at a guy like Jose Quintana. When he was traded, he was traded on the strength of what he did in his last 8 starts or so, because he struggled to start the year, turned it around, and the Cubs, of course, look at his broader body of work, but I'm sure it helped that his recent results had been quite good.